Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to the Sunday Gathering, a time to connect with Creator through prayer and reflection. Each week, the clergy of the Community Catholic Church of Canada gather to worship together, and we invite you to join us. We are an inclusive and progressive denomination in the Anglican Roman Catholic tradition. And now, let's prepare our hearts for worship and create sacred space to be blessed by God.
Grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Almighty God,
to you all hearts are open, all desires known, and from you no secrets are hidden. Cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name. Through Christ our Lord. Amen.
Let us confess our sins against God and our neighbor.
Most merciful God, Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, we confess that we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We are truly sorry, and we humbly repent. We ask for your forgiveness and your unlimited mercy to embrace us and restore us with your grace. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, amen.
May the God of love and power forgive you and free you from your sins, heal and strengthen you by the Holy Spirit, and raise you to new life in Christ our Lord. Amen. The Collect for the 15th Sunday after Pentecost. Author and giver of all good things, graft in our hearts the love of your name. Increase in us true religion, nourish us in all goodness, and of your great mercy, keep us in the same. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
A reading from the Song of Solomon, chapter 2, beginning at the 8th verse. The voice of my beloved. Look, he comes leaping upon the mountains, bounding over the hills. My beloved is like a gazelle or a young stag. Look, there he stands behind our wall, gazing in at the windows, looking through the lattice. My beloved says to me, arise, my love, my fair one, and come away. For now the winter is past, and the rain is over and gone. The flowers appear on the earth, and the time of singing has come, and the voice of the turtle dove is heard in our land. The fig tree puts forth its fig, and the vines are in blossom, they give forth fragrance. Arise, my love, my fair one, and come away. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The psalm appointed between lections is Psalm 45. My heart overflows with a goodly theme. I address my verses to the king. My tongue is like a pen of a ready scribe. You are the most handsome of men. Grace is poured upon your lips. Therefore, God has blessed you forever. Your throne, O God, endures forever and ever. Your royal scepter is a scepter of equity. You love righteousness and hate wickedness. Therefore, God, your God, has anointed you with the oil of gladness beyond your companions. Your robes are all fragrant with myrrh and aloes and cassia. From ivory palaces, stringed instruments make you glad. Daughters of kings are among your ladies of honor. At your right hand stands the queen in gold of Ophir. Gracious God, your love unites heaven and earth, and a new festival of gladness. Lift our spirits to learn the way of joy that leads us to your banquet hall, where all is golden with praise, We ask this through Jesus Christ the Lord. Amen.
A reading from the book of James, chapter 1, beginning at the 17th verse. Every generous act of giving, with every perfect gift, is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change. In fulfillment of his own purpose, he gave us birth by the word of truth, so that we would become a kind of first fruits of his creatures. You must understand this, my beloved. Let everyone be quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to anger, for your anger does not produce God's righteousness. Therefore, rid yourselves of all sordidness and rank growth of wickedness, and welcome with meekness the implanted word that has the power to save your souls. But be the doers of the word, not merely hearers who deceive themselves. For if any are hearers of the word and not doers, they are like those who look at themselves in a mirror. For they look at themselves and on going away, immediately forget what they were like. Those who look into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and persevere, being not hearers who forget, but doers who act, they will be blessed in their doing. If any think they are religious and do not bridle their tongues, but deceive their hearts, their religion is worthless. Religion that is pure and undefiled before God the Father is this: to care for orphans and widows in their distress, and to keep oneself unstained by the world. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Mark.
Glory to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Now when the Pharisees and some of the scribes who had come from Jerusalem gathered around him, they noticed that some of his disciples were eating with defiled hands, that is, without washing them. For the Pharisees and all the Jews do not eat unless they thoroughly wash their hands, thus observing the tradition of the elders. And they do not eat anything from the market unless they wash it. There are also so many other traditions that they observe, the washing of cups, pots, and bronze kettles. So the Pharisees and the scribes asked him, "Why do your disciples not live according to the tradition of the elders, but eat with defiled hands?" He said to them, "Isaiah prophesies rightly about you hypocrites, as it is written, 'This people honors me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. In vain do they worship me, teaching human precepts as doctrines. You abandon the commandment of God and hold to human tradition.'" Then he called the crowd again and said to them, "Listen to me, all of you, and understand. There's nothing outside a person that by going in can defile, but the things that come out are what defile. For it is from within, from the human heart, that the evil intentions come: fornication, adultery, avarice, wickedness, deceit, licentiousness, envy, slander, pride, folly. All these evil things come from within, and they defile a person." This is the gospel of Christ.
Praise be to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Good morning. Today is the 15th Sunday after Pentecost, and today's sermon is based on the Holy Gospel of Mark. Lord, we thank you for the gift of your word. As we think on these things, open our hearts and our minds to hear you. Amen. So in today's lesson, Jesus is at the height of his ministry. He was very popular in the rural areas among the common people. And no sooner does he get out of a boat, people recognize him, and they start running about, gathering the sick and bringing them to him and begging him for permission to touch the fringe of his garments. The people were desperately seeking Jesus. Jesus and his disciples have entered a foreign land. They've gone to the other side, and we know what that means. They are in a place where their mothers wouldn't even want them to be, a place where they don't belong. They are breaking the rules, even though Jesus is healing the sick and the broken. But in today's reading, we hear that Jesus' popularity is also drawing the attention of the religious leaders, which of course the police. And who are they? The Pharisees and the scribes from Jerusalem. They have come out to investigate all the commotion and to observe the ministry of Jesus.
they have less enthusiasm towards Jesus than the crowd. Actually, they are here to make sure everyone is following the laws of the land, or as they call it, the tradition of the elders. Now, as you may recall, the Pharisees and scribes don't like Jesus very much, and they're definitely not fond of his groupies either. Why? They were troublemakers, rule breakers, and they were a threat to the way things went and were supposed to go. They loved the unlovely, and they just didn't fit into Pharisees' world. Well, wouldn't you know it? Just as they came rushing in, they immediately and so conveniently were quick to observe the disciples' shortcomings by breaking a long-held tradition of the Jewish community. They were eating without first washing their hands, or so they were accused of. Aha, they thought, something for the smear campaign against Jesus and friends. They were looking to catch the disciples doing anything that would break their law, and they think they found it. You see, dear friends, at certain times in our lives, the enemy will see to it that our motives and actions will be called into question, especially by those outside the faith. He, the enemy, knows that he is defeated, and our Lord is always eternally victorious. While we know he can't defeat Christ, he can definitely work to bring accusations to those who desire to serve the Lord and proclaim the gospel. There is also one thing that we do must be made aware of. The Jews were forbidden to eat unless they washed their hands. This is a strict tradition passed down through generations, and keeping the tradition of the elders very important, and it still is today. But the Pharisees and the scribes have forgotten the origin of washing hands, or they just don't care. While there was no biblical law about washing hands before eating, there was a requirement that the priests wash their hands and their feet before ministering at the altar. The Pharisees took this very seriously, and they even argued that all Israelites should be as holy as the priests, and that consequently, all Jews should wash their hands also before eating. The Pharisees were known for their adherence to the law and their legalistic traditions, but in reality, they were hypocrites, as they criticized their perceived faults in the Lord and his work. They completely ignored their lack of obedience to those aspects of the faith that genuinely pleased the Lord. Outwardly, they looked good, but within, they were defiled and corrupt. These truths have not changed. Like the Pharisees of old, our lives are measured by what is in our hearts, instead of the life we portray before men. Possible to have a form of righteousness, but actually have a defiled heart. Now, having stood in the sidelines as long as they could, the Pharisees finally raised a stink and complained to Jesus about the disciples' disregard for their long-held traditions. They were so appalled that these men would dare to eat without first washing their hands. The enemy again, and those who promote his agenda, are never afraid of confrontation. Even some within the church are quick to confront those who fail to honor certain rituals and traditions that are held in high regard. Now, if you are committed to serving the Lord, like some of us are and some of us will be, you might as well prepare yourself to deal with confrontation. Someone will eventually take issue with your practices in one way or another. And this, too, is something we have already been privy to. As he had done in the past, Jesus immediately responded to the accusations of the Pharisees. However, rather than chastising the disciples for failing to honor tradition, Jesus questions the motives of the Pharisees, and he rebuked their agenda. He attacks their religious observance, and he does it publicly. Jesus quotes a prophecy from Isaiah that was being fulfilled at that moment. He states, "Isaiah was right when he prophesied about you hypocrites, as it is written, 'These people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. They worship me in vain. Their teachings are but rules taught by men. To let go of the commands of God and are holding on to the traditions of man.'" Jesus isn't finished with the Pharisees yet. He says, "You have a fine way of setting aside the commands of God in order to observe your own traditions. For Moses said, honor your mother and your father. Anyone who curses his mother and father must be put to death. But you see, if a man says to his mother or father, whatever help you might otherwise have rescued me from is Corban. That is a gift that's devoted to God. Then you no longer let him do anything for his mother or father. So you nullify the word of God by your tradition that you have handed down. And you do many things like that. Well, let me just quickly explain this to you. In the Jewish culture, and in most today, one was expected to take care of their aging parents, and Jesus reminded them of this commandment. However, the Jews had devised a way to avoid their responsibilities and justify their neglect. So when their parents made a request for help, the son would declare his monies were Corban. Now, this is a term again that meant the money was dedicated to God and could be spent for no other purpose than the needs of the temple or the sacred duties. Doing this, they neglected their responsibilities through fault and were bold enough to declare the money was reserved for the Lord. They are willing to neglect the needs of the closest to them in order to continue their efforts of self-righteousness. No wonder Jesus called them hypocrites. Well, the Pharisees must have been stunned by Jesus' response. He just unloaded both barrels on the Pharisees. And yet, when you think about it, they really had it coming. If we quickly consider the situation with the disciples, they have given up their own careers, their families, and their homes to share in Jesus' ministry. They have been living out of their sleeping bags, working tirelessly, and caring for all sorts of needy people. And now, some self-important religious folks make a trip down from the city. They see Jesus' work, but refuse to recognize all that has been accomplished. All they can do is criticize the overlooking of the traditions. They are blind, as they only focus on some small trifling details and miss what is really important. For this, their condemnation is well deserved. But Jesus doesn't just use this situation as an opportunity to correct some misdirected teachers. Jesus uses their actions as an opportunity to teach. In verses 14 to 23, Jesus explains to the crowd that it's not the food that contaminates you. It's not the food that makes you unfit for God's services. It's not those things that are outside of us, our dirty hands that pollute. The greatest trouble, he declares, originates within. The greatest trouble comes from the heart. And what comes out of our mouth, the actions of our lives that defiles. These two are prompted from within. Our heart will dictate our minds and our behavior. We should much more be worried about the condition of our hearts than the dirt and the filth without. Of this, the Pharisees provide us with the perfect illustration. They keep all the rules about food. They parade their clean hands and inspect everyone's fingernails. And yet, despite their achievements and their religiosity, they can't hide the fact that they are driven and afflicted by envy and pride. So it's easy to look at the Pharisees and dismiss them for their behaviors and their words. And yet, if we sit with this story, we start seeing that, well, maybe there's a little bit of Pharisees in each of us. Most of us are pretty good with religious externals. Or are we? Well, let's find out. Religious attendance at worship? Check. Callousness for service? Check, check. Abstention from excesses? Check, check, check. I guess we're doing pretty good. Unlike the Pharisees, we might be careful about what we say to others, but we may be quicker to listen and slower to speak. And yet, when the judgments slip out, and they do, they reveal a disorder not so deep below the surface. And when Jesus speaks to us, well, he strips away the veneer, the outer coating, and tears down the fabrications and all the papering over the cracks. We are forced to look into the mirror and confront these heart problems that have been shimmering beneath the surface. Ugly things like envy, greed, and lust. So, dear friends, what do we do? Jesus offers a diagnosis, but the passage at least offers no therapy, no treatment plan. So, again, what do we do? Well, thankfully, there is an option. We can come to Jesus, not as the self-righteous, self-assured people we pretend to be, but as the sinful, broken, afflicted people we really are. So in conclusion, remember why the people flocked to Jesus. He welcomed them in their brokenness and he healed them. We come to Jesus in our neediness and he will begin a wonderful act of recreation. When we come to Jesus in humility, he will transform our whole being, even our hearts.
In peace, let us pray to the Lord, saying, Lord, hear and have mercy. We pray for all who confess the name of Christ. Fill us with the power of your Holy Spirit.
Lord, hear and have mercy.
We pray for those whose lives are bound in mutual love and for those who live in celibacy. Be their joy and their strength.
Lord, hear and have mercy.
For all in danger, for those who are far from home, prisoners, exiles, victims of oppression, grant them your salvation.
Lord, hear and have mercy.
For all who are facing trials and difficulties, for those who are sick and those who are dying, show them your kindness and mercy.
Lord, hear and have mercy.
We pray for one another. May we always be united in service and love.
Lord, hear and have mercy.
We pray to be forgiven our sins and set free from all hardship, distress, want, war, and injustice.
Lord, hear and have mercy.
May we discover new and just ways of sharing the goods of the earth, struggling against exploitation, greed, or lack of concern. May we all live by the abundance of your mercies and find joy together.
Lord, hear and have mercy.
May we be strengthened by our communion with all Christ's saints.
Lord, hear and have mercy.
Let us glorify the Lord, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Praise him and highly exalt him forever. In the firmament of his power, glorify the Lord. Praise him and highly exalt him forever. Amen.
And now, as our Savior Christ has taught us, we are bold to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Linked by spirit, voice, and intention, we are wrapped in the love of God, all one in spirit, beyond the limits of time and space. Around the world at this very moment, countless prayers are being lifted. Songs of praise are being offered. Bread and wine is being blessed to nurture God's dear children. United in Christ, we lift our prayers and praise to God, and we give thanks that we too are spiritually fed in this time of worship. Jesus, you call us to follow you. We love you above all things, and we give thanks that you transform our hearts with your love. Embrace each of us now. Unite us to you in this time of worship and each moment of our day. We give thanks that we are all fashioned by your love, gifted by your grace, and upheld by your loving presence. May the blessings that we receive in this sacred connection move us to be blessings in the world. Amen.
May we be the hands of Christ assisting one another. May we be the voice of Christ speaking up against injustice and unloving actions. May we be the heart of Christ reaching out with compassion and healing. May we have the understanding of Christ and see all of our brother and sister and this planet as a sacred and holy world. And may the Holy Spirit guide us and empower us this day to accomplish our purpose with love and abundant joy. Amen.
The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in the knowledge and love of God and of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. And may the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be with us and remain with us this day and forevermore. Amen.
Go forth in the world rejoicing in the power of the Spirit.
Thanks be to God.
Thank you for joining us this day for our time of worship. If you have a prayer request, please send it along to communitycatholicchurch@gmail.com. If you'd like to make a financial donation to help support our ministry, please visit the website at www.communitycatholicchurch.com. Join us next week at 10:30 a.m. for the next Sunday gathering. Blessings to you in the name of our God of love.